These first preliminary words don't count against my time, so just so we're aware of that. No, but the plan was that I give a second part, as it were, of my testimony of what the Lord has done for me. If you haven't heard the first part, it's available on Sermon Audio, where I talked about how the Lord worked in our family, that my dad and my mom and the six children that they had were all saved out of the Church of Rome and were brought into a saving knowledge of the gospel. So if you haven't heard that, I encourage you to get to go to Sermon. I almost said to get the tape. I've been saying that quite a bit recently, but realize most people nowadays don't. My son doesn't even know what a tape is. I had to show him what a cassette tape was a couple weeks ago. But get that off of Sermon Audio, if you would, and listen to that. I'm very thankful that the Lord did a great work in my family, a work that, quite frankly, you don't find occurring very often, that numbers like that in a family that big all brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. And sometimes it's good for me just to step back from the busyness of life and travel and all the rest of it to just remember how good the Lord has been in saving our souls. But I think I left that testimony time with us arriving in the Free Church, and I was thinking that I probably should at some point tell you how the Lord has led in the days since we came into the Free Presbyterian Church. Well, it just happened to be that in one of my messages, I was talking about the need for the right man to be called of God. And a calling from the Lord is not synonymous with desire to serve. You can have a desire to serve the Lord, and you should have a desire to serve the Lord. But simply having a desire and wanting to do some form of service for the Lord does not constitute a call. You need to know in this place what it is to have a man called of God with that sense of that call upon him. And I had to wrestle with this issue before in my Christian life. And ever since coming into the Free Church, there were two times in my life that I felt the leading of the Lord clearly from his word. And for someone that has known that before, if you've known clear leading of the Lord from his word, you know that when the Lord speaks, it's different than just being blessed from the word. We've all been blessed from the preaching. We've all been spoken to from the preaching. But it's different when the Lord speaks and wants you to do something specific. But the Bible passage that I want to use tonight to convey something of what I'm saying is from 2 Samuel chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. I saw you have pew Bibles here. That's good. For all the things that Greenville offers, they don't have pew Bibles. Couldn't believe it when I got to the Greenville church. I said, I think that's the greatest oversight in the solar system to not have pew Bibles. So maybe my sarcasm will prompt the session and committee to supply pew Bibles in the days to come. 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. And the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand." And David came to Baal-pe-Rizim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-pe-Rizim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Amen. One that reading in verse 25. I picked this passage Because there are three things that you see from the life of David in this section. He had just been anointed king, and immediately the enemies of the Lord came against the work. And there are three things that you see in the life of David. You see desire, which is his desire to go fight against the enemies of the Lord. And he begins to inquire as to how to best do that. But you also see leading. And sometimes David's desire, or what David thought may have been the best option, was not the best option. The first time David goes out, the Lord says, go forth, go out. I'll deliver them into your hands. So he went with that desire, that plan that he had in his mind. That was God's will. The second time, the plan that David had wasn't God's will. And so David, while he had the same desire and the same interest to serve, needed to know the clear leading of the Lord if he was to arrive at victory. And that was the third point here. Desire, leading, and victory. And so I said to you folks last week that there is a difference between desire and knowing the leading of the Lord. I say there were two times in my life where I knew the Lord speak to me. In Acts chapter 8, the passage where we see that Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. I don't know if our brother remembers. Remember Bob McNeil? Yeah, remembers Bob McNeil. Bob McNeil was a founding member of our church. One of the ones that helped really with his own hands build the work in Newtown Square. Well, he passed away. I was actually friends with Bob before I even came into the Free Church. He was attending a Bible study that I attended before I came into the Free Church. And I had a friendship with him, and they asked me to be a pallbearer at our brother's funeral. And I was honored to do that. I'd never been a pallbearer before. After he passed away, we had the funeral. That Saturday, we had a men's Bible study, and John Greer got up and spoke from this passage about how after the death of Stephen, there was great persecution that arose. The next verse, or the next part of that verse, says, and at that time, there was great persecution which arose against the church. And as a young man, I was sitting under John Greer's ministry. He was saying, be prepared, because oftentimes when there is a very important figure in the church that's removed, the devil sees an opportunity. And as he was going down the passage, he mentioned that devout men in verse 2 carried Stephen to his burial. It's the only time I was ever a pallbearer was when I carried Bob McNeil to his funeral, to his burial. And so right away, this passage got my attention. It was kind of a unique situation in which I found myself. And as he continued to deal with the text, John Greer went down to verse 5, where he says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Way after the Lord had saved me, I went to Germany on a short-term mission trip. One of the names that was given to me by the leader of the trip was Philip. And my brother Mark went with me on that trip. When we went home, he for years called me Philip. Kept calling me Philip because that was the name I had on that short-term mission trip. And so first the passage about carrying him to his burial caught my attention. And here's Philip mentioned in the same context. And what do you find? That he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. And I felt that that was a burden that the Lord was placing on my heart, that it very well may be necessary for me to study for the ministry. So I didn't say anything to John Greer. I just went about my business. But that message, that word was in my mind when I woke up, throughout the day, when I laid down at night. It was a word that I couldn't get away from. It, to me, was clear leading of the Lord. And so I said something to John Greer. He said, well, we'll inquire about you maybe going to study down at the seminary. And so I went that route. Dr. Allison was the one that I spoke to. And he said, well, we'll have to interview you. You come to interview before the presbytery. And I said, well, we'll plan on that then. And so that year they decided that it was the first time they were going to require prospective students to preach to the presbytery. I didn't know that that was awaiting me. And so as a young man who was, in a sense, very much wet behind the ears to hear that news, put great fear into my heart that maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. What have I gotten myself into? Now I have to preach to all the ministers and all the elders that gather for the week of prayer. So I went down to Greenville and stayed with our brother Bill Grider in Greenville, the Greenville church. He had a camper out in his yard, and I was there in the evening before I had to preach to these men. And I got down before the Lord earlier in that day. I started reading the book of Jeremiah. It's the only time I ever have said anything like this to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I don't know what's in Jeremiah chapter 5, but I need a word from thee to know that this is where I'm supposed to be." I had this burden hanging over my head that I had to go and preach to these men. And I had to mean business. I had to know for sure that this is where the Lord would have me. In Jeremiah chapter 5, as I read through the chapter, I came to verse 5. And I read, "I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgments of their God." And that was, from that day forward, I've gone through much of the scriptures and never found a verse, even if I was looking for it, that could have more applied to the situation in which I found myself. I had a desire to serve the Lord, but there was nothing like getting a word from God that I knew the Lord was saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." So when I started to study in the seminary, one of the things I put before the Lord was that I didn't want to pursue the ministry until I was married. Some of you would have said, "Well, that would have probably excluded you from any service in the will of the Lord if you would have known me back then." That was asking the Lord to perform quite a task to provide me a wife. And so when I got done my internship after my seminary studies, I still wasn't married. And so again, I took it from the Lord that was an indication I should not pursue the ministry. And so I was sent back to the church in Malvern. And I was told, "Do whatever you're asked to do." And that sometimes required filling in Malvern. Sometimes I was asked by some other churches that needed men to come. One time I was here for 6 weeks, as some of you remember. I just put my head down and said, "Whatever I'm asked to do, that's what I'm going to do." And some people have said, "Is there a burden on your heart for the ministry?" Sure there is. Sure there is. I think every young man that gets saved and has any zeal or knowledge for God or seek after the Lord should have a desire to see the gospel go out. But I also have known those times where the Lord has clearly led me from His word. And I personally have such a high regard for the ministry and for that work of being a pastor, a shepherd. It's not just standing behind a pulpit. I tell people, it's not entirely true, but I tell people anyone can stand behind a desk and speak. But not everyone can pastor. Not everyone can know the hand of the Lord upon them for that service. And so I always assumed that the Lord's leading so clearly in His word in the past that the Lord would speak to me in that way. There have been opportunities that I could have pursued, but again, I believe that the Lord must make it clear. David could have gone forth as he did before with all the greatest desire and interest to serve the Lord, but it wasn't God's will. And so that's where I am. I just am trying to serve in whatever way I can, but yet have never felt the call of God to pursue the ministry. It may be, I tell people, it may be one of these days that the Lord takes a dealing with me from the scriptures. And my wife also feels burdened to pursue the ministry. And we know that the Lord is leading. And in that case, we will pursue it with all of our hearts. But I have such a high regard for the pastorate that I will not pursue anything regarding shepherding God's people unless the Lord makes it clear. And that's what you need to pray for here. You need to pray for a man that not only himself knows the clear leading of the Lord from the word, a word that he can't get away from, a word that he can rely on when the going gets tough, and the going will get tough in the ministry, that he can fall back on and say, "This is the word from the Lord that I got, and I have to pursue. I have to continue to pursue the ministry." So not only a man that knows that, but also that the mind of the people, as our brother had said, that everyone can say this is God's man. That's what you can pray for over the coming days. So I'm thankful. I'm sure I went over 15 minutes, but I'm thankful for that opportunity to share with you. And a lot more happened. A lot more happened. I I wish I had time to tell you some of the stories of the time in the seminary. It's a wonder I was not thrown out onto the street when I was in seminary. Some of the stuff I said and some of the stuff I did. But the men that taught me in the seminary were gracious men indeed. And so thank you for your prayers. I'm very glad for the opportunity of being here. I can look out on this congregation and say that it's not what it was when I was here before. The Lord is blessed. You need to keep that in mind. The Lord has desires for the work in this place. So be encouraged by that, and that the Lord is taking His work forward. Amen.